Good morning, everyone. So today is Thursday, June 7th. This is the Bicycle Trailways Pedestrian Advisory Committee for the Palm Beach TPA. The time is 9:08, and we're going to get started. The first item on the agenda is roll call.
Okay, Sally Channon.
She's not here. I believe I stand represented.
Annie Delgado.
Here.
Gary Dunmire.
Here.
Michael Howe.
Dave Gubola from Michael Howe.
Gene Matthews.
Here.
Michael Owens.
Here.
Bogdan Pierokowski.
Neil.
For Bogdan.
Olga Prieto.
Here.
Bob Sabin is excused. Stephanie Thoburn. Heather Chabrol is excused. Anna Pushkin-Shevlin.
Here.
And Alexander Barr.
Here, representing for Lisa Wong.
Thank you.
Next item is to adopt the agenda for June 7th, 2018.
Motion to adopt.
First by David, second. Second by Anna.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Alright. Next item is a motion to approve the minutes for May 3rd, 2018.
Motion taken.
First by David, then a second.
Second.
Second by Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, next, comments from the chair. I don't really have any. Happy first week of hurricane season. We all are preparing. I know that my department is definitely preparing and getting ready for the season. And that's all I have. Next is the Petit Pack Liaison's report.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. I know it's a little bit of a wordy report, so I'll just kind of provide a summary of this for you. First item is regarding Palmtrans route performance maximization effort. They do have a survey that'll be open. It's expected to be open until June 14th, and they're looking for additional comments. So if you would like to log into that link, you can provide your comments to support that effort. We did want to know that as of April, this year, there are updated Palm Beach County typical sections. That was great to see on the website. The new typicals do include an array of bicycle facilities, including buffered bike lanes and traditional bike lanes. So check that out. The link is provided. June 21st is National Dump the Pump Day. So if you can, you're encouraged to stay out of your vehicle and use other modes of transportation that day. Item four, very wordy, but this is just providing an update about additional crossing improvements with respect to the FEC corridor and Brightline. So you'll know a number of improvements were made in each of the municipalities that were necessary in order to qualify for the quiet zone implementation. These would be above and beyond, so to further the amount of safety improvements, they are providing that additional improvements. Next item is regarding the Boca Raton's 2 Tri-Rail station. There's an upcoming meeting on June 20th, and the location and details are provided for you. In case any of you plan to attend the next governing board meeting, that will be at the Manatee Lagoon Center, which is at the northern end of West Palm Beach. And I also wanted to do a quick staff update. We have 2 new staff. We're very excited. Gregory Gabriel, who is our Transportation Planner 2, as well as Navael Fontus, who will be an intern with us for the summer. So we're happy to have them on board. One thing, I didn't make it onto the report because I just found out about it, but we wanted to note that on July 10th is the expected grand reopening of the El Rio Trail, and that is improved and expanded as part of the new Spanish River interchange. So that's an exciting occurrence. And then the last thing I wanted to note, very sad, I didn't put it on here, but today is actually my last day at the TPA. I've taken a position as the Planning and Preservation Manager at the City of Lakeport, so I'm very excited for it, but also really sad, and I know I've been here as kind of the interim liaison, and I'm glad it's been as long as it has, because I've really learned a lot from you all and your perspectives, and so it's been really great. And I should also note that on July 1st, the lead planner, bike ped coordinator will be starting. So as I'm leaving, you will have the permanent person to sit in this seat. So that's exciting. So.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You're going to work for Mark Starbuck?
Yes, yes.
Who's the most awesome dude ever.
I know.
He's a super great guy.
Yes. Oh, okay. Now that I did the staff updates, Nabeel, if you want to briefly introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, my name is Nabeel Fuentes. I'm a current grad student at Florida State's urban planning program, and I'm here for the summer interning with Palm Beach CPA. It's been a pleasure so far, you know, working with everyone, getting to know the ropes. I head back in August, so wish me the best of luck as I wrap up. I am excited to graduate 12/2019. So.
Nice. Good luck. Thank you so much. And let's begin our agenda. The first item for action is a motion to recommend approval of revisions to the Bicycle Trailways Pedestrian Advisory Committee bylaws.
Okay, so don't have a formal presentation on this item. The changes were pretty straightforward, but to summarize what was modified, the biggest component of the changes were regarding abstaining from voting. Now, this hasn't been an issue with this committee, and I wouldn't really foresee it happening.
Can we pull it up where it's just
sure.
The markup? Yeah, go ahead.
It'll be on page 5. So what this is with respect to if you have a potential conflict of interest on an item that was coming before the committee. Now, typically what these conflicts are, and it's specified in Florida statute, has to do with a potential financial gain. So where we could see this happening in the committee where we first made this modification was actually at the Citizens Advisory Committee. If there isn't that perceived conflict of interest, so let's say, you know, I'm going to use the Citizens Advisory Committee as an example because I could see that happening. You have a lot of folks in the private sector on that committee. So if, let's say they work for an engineering consulting firm and there's a PD&E project being discussed, which we often do here. If that firm was potentially going after that project, they could stand to gain financially from that. So they would want to recuse themselves from that item. But what you can't do is just abstain from a vote because you don't want to take the vote. And that is specified in Florida statute. The only time, if you serve on an advisory committee like this, that you are allowed to recuse yourself from voting is if there is that potential conflict. And it is noted that there's a specific form that has to be completed. So should that ever arise, and I don't see that happening here, you can if you just Google that form, it comes right up, or we certainly provide that to you. So that's
but it has to be submitted, that form then has to be submitted.
Within 15 days, correct.
To the Commission on Ethics.
No, actually that would be to the TPA.
TPA.
So you would just need to send that to Alexa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because, you know, I can see a situation, you know, West Palm Beach always, when they talk about the extension, I guess, of 441 through the grassy waters, they always vote no, because that's the city's stance on it. But if the city was like trying to decide, they may say, I'm abstaining from this vote until the city makes a recommendation.
See, that wouldn't be a permissible, because you can't abstain from a vote because of policy discussion. If they are here, unless they're, you know, had another job at a consulting firm and could stand to gain from that extension, but because of a policy decision, that wouldn't qualify as a reason to be able to abstain from a vote.
But could they just say, if it was a Parks and Rec issue where we were deciding, could I say, I'm not gonna vote either way, because I don't want to be on the record either way?
I don't believe so, no, so.
So do you mean that these abstentions are only because you as an individual have a personal gain,
exactly.
But not, you can't abstain because the city you're representing has an interest. You still have to vote, even if your city has an interest. The only exception is if you personally have a conflict.
Right, and we did include specific, I believe we included the specific, Florida statute reference. So if you Google that, the language is pretty clear, so I would recommend maybe just taking a look at that. and that specifies exactly what is considered a conflict.
Okay, because, you know, I'm thinking like for the city of Delray, if if you were guys, it was in the middle of discussion, and city council said, well, let's bring it back next month for further discussion, you wouldn't want to be on the record either way.
Correct.
Could you leave the room?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I guess if the vote was called and you weren't in the room, I mean, they're not going to hold the vote up. I wouldn't recommend that. What I would recommend in that case is, you know, before the actual vote is taken, there's always member discussion. So I would lay out exactly what the potential issues are, or that the city is in the process of making a determination, and you may decide and state on record, I'm voting no at this point because we're not ready, the city isn't sure if this is the way we want to go. So I would do that. I would disclose it and discuss what the issues are, but again, if you weren't in the room when the vote was taken, I mean, the vote would still happen, but I would recommend.
Yeah, because you see in the newspaper over and over where a representative voted against their city stance, and all of a sudden that representative was no longer employed.
Right. it's a very bad position.
Yeah.
Because your city can have something that's coming up and it's on the agenda, but it hasn't been decided. You come out and then they say, but your representative voted yes, and your city manager nails you for it. And you're left in a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah, again, Florida statute is very clear on these, and that's, it's not us making this up. So I would recommend just reading that, and if you see an interpretation that maybe that is different than ours, you know, that can be discussed at the next meeting. But from reading all the statutes, that's our interpretation.
It's probably not
going to
ever happen with parks.
But the city certainly would,
and if I was in that position, I would leave the room.
Well, I'm going to ask the attorney, because I didn't have a question. Oh, it's her attorney. I don't know if she wants to respond.
Yeah.
I'll bring up the agenda to them and say, is there a problem? If I see something that's related to, or could be related to them, to not just bring it up to them and say, is there a problem one way or the other?
Yeah, and I'd like to hear what your attorney says, even before we go to ratify the modification of the rules.
I agree. It's so funny because we're having our ethics, because all our advisory committees are getting the teaching every year of the attorney of how to respond and how to act in the meetings. So I'm going to ask her at that time about this one too.
It's particularly troublesome because, like, we've even gotten a ruling from our attorney that only people at the director level can even comment on the performance of a contractor. So if you're not at a director level, you can't even say, I worked with this engineering firm and they were nice. You could get fired for that. So no less take a vote at an official function like this. It puts you in a really awkward spot.
What if we're right on the edge of having a quorum and one person leaves the room?
So in that case, then the vote would not be taken until another member is back in the room and then a quorum is met. So. If it was an issue where you had a quorum, just had a quorum, and the person kept leaving the room, it'd be awkward. But that the vote wouldn't be able to happen if there's no quorum.
Let's hope that situation.
Right. And again, I've been here for a few years. That this has never happened at the TAC. It's never happened here. So again, I don't see this being an issue. But. And then the other changes were more housekeeping in nature. It was to reflect. Some updates from the branding effort, as well as the public participation plan update. So those were just minor language modifications, but not very substantive in nature. So that was it in terms of changes.
And you also mentioned there's a new Roberts Rules order too, which is interesting. Everyone should already be familiar with it, but if you haven't seen the updated version, you should just to freshen up and remind yourself of all the rules.
Yeah, we did discuss this at the TAC meeting yesterday, and it's available online, so we can share a link to that so you all have that.
Okay, are there any more questions? All right, so we need a motion to recommend approval of the revisions to the BT TAC bylaws.
I would make a motion to postpone this vote to next month.
substitute motion? Or do we just, since this one didn't get a second?
We'll see if one gets a second.
Sorry, to clarify, since Michael, you stated your motion first, if there is a second, and then if there's not, then it would be Jean's motion. So if there's a second to Michael's motion.
What was your motion?
It was just
To approve this?
Yeah, just to make the ball roll.
Is there a second to Michael's motion? No second. So Jean's motion, would you like to repeat your motion?
I make a substitute motion to table this and bring it back for discussion next month in a vote.
Is there any problem with that motion?
Sorry, yeah, sorry.
This isn't, it's not a time sensitive, so.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay.
So then you
Jean and David. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, item 2B, motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 19-23 transportation improvement program, TIP.
We'll have Andrew Euler, our CPA's TIP coordinator, walk through the site for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This will be a quick presentation, shorter than the other one I've given on the transportation program. So this is the second time it's coming to the committee, and I'll go to the board for final approval this month. This is for the fiscal year 19-23 transportation improvement program. We're currently operating under the fiscal year 18-22, so this will go into effect next month, so starting July 1st, and follows the state this week. Just before I get started, there is a lot of information in the document. There's hundreds of projects, so it's a lot to go through. So if you're still looking through it, we would like to try to finish up the sort of a final copy by next Wednesday, so we can send our board the most complete version as possible. It's still out for public review, and it'll be out for public review all the way up until the board meeting. But we would like to incorporate most of the changes we can before we start. So here's just a timeline that you've all seen before and where we're at in the process. So going through the steps and how long it takes to create the upcoming transportation improvement program. We have our TPA priority list that gets approved back in July of 2017. Then we have to evaluate how much money is going to be available, the revenue sources, and how much to program. And that happens in the summer and fall of 2017. And then they release their draft tentative work program, which is seen by you all and also approved by the board, and that was November 2017. And then here we are with the release of their FDOT work program, which forms the basis of the creation of the transportation improvement program, which incorporates all those projects. And so we had the review open last month in May, and now we're here in June for our final review. And then again, we'll be operating under the fiscal year 19-23 TIP July 1st. There's a refresher about the types of projects and the TIP, our major TPA priority projects. So the major TPA projects from our cost feasible plan, the long range transportation plan. This is the approved TPA priority list that gets adopted that I mentioned in the previous slide. Our local initiatives program, transportation alternatives program, which you all are very familiar with, and SunTrail. And then FDOT CIS capacity projects, so strategic intermodal system projects, which are road widenings, turn lanes on a strategic intermodal system. And then other projects where we incorporate not only the other projects that are in the work program, but local projects through the city's capital improvement programs, where we can find those transportation projects and also the larger county projects. Airports, railroads, and seaports, and then a large portion to maintenance and operations. So major maintenance projects, which are could be larger roadway improvements, resurfacings that we are to have the potential to have some other types of improvements on top of it. So if there's going up there resurfacing, is there ways that we can tack onto that project possibly and have some type of other facilities as well, and so have other infrastructure improvements on there at the same time. So here's just some basic figures about what's in this draft. TIP, 488 projects total, $2.54 billion over 5 years. Most of those, right, so are the FDOT work program. So the federal and state projects, $299, and that's $1.99 billion. And then all the ones that we add in-house here from the local programs. So we have the large Palm Beach County CERTAS projects that we put in there for resurfacing and bridge modifications or rehabilitation or replacement. And then also the five-year road program, which is all those gas tax and impact fee projects. So we put those in there for reference to have a greater total amount of projects, an all-encompassing list of projects we can. There's updated maps, and you all should have the fiscal year 2019 map. We have them all the way from fiscal 19 to 23. And these maps will show the construction projects, so when they're supposed to be set for construction or implementation. So these are only going to show those construction projects. There's also a lot of projects going on that are just ramping up, so a lot of studies. There's the Okeechobee Boulevard study that we're kicking off here soon. But that, you know, hasn't gone to any construction phase within this program, so any studies wouldn't show up on these maps. And with that, if you're looking at the maps, you'll see there's a label attached to each project, and it just gives you the project number, which is what you can use to search the PDF document, the TIP, and makes it a little easier for you to find. And also, if it's a work program project, that number is what you can look up on the website for FDOT, for their FDOT work program. You can find more information on the scheduling on that project and who the project manager is. And if you ever have issues with that, you can always call us up and we can give some more information. And then it just has a short description about the project as well. So I only have a few more slides here about just a summary of the types of projects we have by section in the Transportation Improvement Program, this draft. So last time we went more into the specifics of projects, but this time it's going to be more overall summary. You can see in this pie chart is where the funding lies. The bulk of it, well, 31% is in the transportation improvement system capacity projects. So again, those are ones on the SIS system, which are more towards capacity of turn lanes and road widenings. Then there's the next three large portions, which is operations and maintenance of transit. So that includes not only just the operations, but also maintenance involving bus replacements and other types of maintenance projects. And then there's operation and maintenance of roadways, so resurfacings, drainage, striping, signage, and then major maintenance category, which are also could also be maintenance of roadways, but ones that we can maybe capitalize in some other ways. And then you can see the other categories there. One to really note here is that major TPA projects, so this is a big funding source for us. So this is our major priority list, and you'll see 4% there. Well, that we talked about a little bit last time, but that 4% is really because we have a lot of products on our major priority list right now that do not have construction phases programmed yet. So you all saw the US 1 corridor study, which has over $100 million, I believe, in potential improvements. So once some of those start getting programmed into construction phases, you'll see that total share increase. And there's tons of other projects in there as well that still need to be set for being construction. So there's a need there for, if you're looking at the document, you'll see our summary tables. There's the tri-rail service extension to Jupiter. So that's an existing need that's over $100 million as well. US 1, so a few other ones. I think Atlantic Avenue is in that one as well, $74 million. So a lot to still put in there in future versions of the PIP. And then this is the same slide, same information, just broken down to federal, state, and local. Just a few things to point out, which is kind of, you know, also interesting, you all may know already. You know, federal is usually with funding sources. There is some maintenance and operation available there, but most of the federal sources go towards like newer projects, implementation of projects, such as road widening, safety improvements. And then when it gets into something like more of the maintenance and operations, a lot of that falls more on state and local funding sources. So you see how much in our maintenance categories is really dedicated to federal compared to state and local. I just want to point out again that these are funded in thousands. So that's thousands of places. So that's $2.5 billion that we talked about earlier. And I believe this is my final slide that I wanted to talk about. And this is a closing one about, this is an action item today to recommend to the board.
Thank you very much. So is there a motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 19-23 TIF?
I just had a couple questions. Is this map fiscal year 19 when the construction is going to start or when the funding becomes available?
Funding becomes available, that's a good point. So this is a list of basically, if the funding shows for construction or implementation in this that fiscal year, so we basically have an assumption of it starting that year, so it is when the funds are available.
So if it's on this map, you think it would start in 2019 or?
Correct.
These maps are fabulous.
Yeah.
They take a while to put together, so.
You did a great job with
them. We like having printout maps because they are a good visual, and we're still working on the online mapping. It's up there, but it's not where we want it yet, so hopefully in the future we'll have it available for that as well.
Sorry.
Did you do the maps for the other years too?
Oh yes, they're all there. We didn't print them out because they're a lot to print out, but we have them available. And if you want copies, we have copies.
Okay, great.
So just ask me and we'll get you some. So they're all here, and we can pass it around as well if you want those.
Yeah,
sure. I'll do that right now, actually.
Now the other question is if there are some of the projects that are close to our parks, and I might want to see the more details on that. How would I get the graphics that go with a particular project?
Sure. You mean when? Well, if you're familiar with GeoNav, which most of you probably are, I have to have it updated. I'll try to do that very soon. But we do keep our TIP layer in there. How it's displayed, it probably isn't too well. It's probably just one. There's no like different color coordination of that. But the product should be in there. So we do map all our products from GIS.
But say I want to see a bridge replacement project in a neighborhood that's near a park or whatever. How would I get the graphics of the elevations and all that for that bridge replacement project?
Oh, okay. So you mean?
I can throw out two ideas if you want.
Sure.
So the two that come to mind is in the TIP document for each project there, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a project manager listed?
Yes.
So a lot of these, so if it was a county project, that would be easy to coordinate with engineering to get that, but a lot of these would be FDOT. So there is a project manager, so you can always reach out directly to the project manager for all the documents. The other way would be if you create an account with the ERC, the Electronic Review Committee, you can log in and search by project number, which is in the TIP document, and then all of the existing construction plans and all of that would be searchable through that system.
Could that link be sent to our group?
Yes.
Later today?
Yes.
Because
yes,
one of the things we are very conscious of is the Chain of Lakes is such a recreational amenity.
Sure.
Where you could start at the C-15 and literally go to all the way to Pine Lake up by the hill, right? So I see a bunch of bridge replacement projects that impact that access, and I want to look at the elevations. And so, yes, and
sure.
Exactly. Yeah,
so that would be simple. Yeah, we'll just send you a link right to the ERC website, and when you go to the main page, you'll see like where you would log in with your username and password, and then there'll be a button that says don't have an account or something like that. So you click that, and then you can create your profile and get an account, and then you'd be able to log in and review any project that you want.
That's fabulous.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, that's unbelievable.
It's a very user friendly. Well, once you get involved with it, it's user friendly. It's not that hard to maneuver once you're in it. So,
Kevin, do they have to be flagged to see it, or they can? How does that work? How will that pop up in those projects? Or they can look. They can see everything.
So I believe you can see every. That is a good question. So because I created my account when I first started here, there's a whole array of projects I can look at. I'm not 100% sure if you can back search before you had an account. I think you can, but if you can't do that, then the first item I mentioned was where you'll see the project manager's name. If you reach out directly, which I do often, they're very responsive. So they, if you need to go that route, just contact the project manager directly.
Okay, that's great information. Thank you.
Any further questions for Andrew? Okay, so I need a motion to recommend approval of the 19 and 23 TIF.
So moved.
First by Jean, do I have a second?
Oh, sir.
Second by David. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you very much. Next, information items. The summary points from the May 17, 2018 Governing Board meeting are provided for you in the backup, and you can read them at your leisure. Next, member comments. So we'll go around the table if anyone has any comments. Lisa?
Well, yes, so my name is Lisa Wong with Kinley Farm. We're representing Alex Barr, and Alex Barr is still with DOT, but he moved to consultant management. So right now, Office of Modal Development, they're looking for a complete streets coordinator. So Kinley Farm will be representing this representation until they have a coordinator. So if you guys do have any questions, please let us know. We can coordinate that with the respective project manager at DOT.
Anyone else?
This is the quickest meeting we've ever had.
Yeah. It's a continuation of yesterday. It was like record pace.
It's summer.
Any other member comments? Okay.
I did talk to Brett last week.
Did you?
Yeah, he's doing well. He seems to love it up there. So.
Good for him.
Told everybody to say hi.
I have a comment. So a couple weeks ago, I actually passed my AICP exam. Thanks, everyone. Yeah, thank you all for your support. And, you know, it takes a village, it really does. So I appreciate it. And yes, you know, have my designation, and that'll be that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, next meeting. Yes?
I want to make one more comment. I rode with the improvements on the Boca Rio Trail this past weekend.
How did you like it?
And it was fantastic. In fact, it's very exciting when you come under the Yamato Road. There are a series of bridges and little ups and downs where you're at eye level with the water. There is a warning sign that it can flood, but it was very nice. It was wonderful. And it's amazing to see the trail being used by both runners and joggers and people of all ages on Saturday afternoon. What I would say is if we somehow get some landscaping budget, you need some shade on that trail. It is really, you know, scaldingly hot. You seek refuge under those bridges. But it is fantastic, and it's well lit, and there are some water fountains, and we should all try it out and keep expanding it. It's awesome.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, if anyone doesn't know, the El Rio Trail actually has a pedestrian underpass on Yamato Road. That was a pretty dangerous intersection for bicyclists and pedestrians to cross. So now you can just bypass it and go right underneath and continue north or south. So it's a great improvement. And Joy in the room was actually the big spearheader for that project, for getting El Rio to where it is now. So thank you.
It was awesome.
Any other comments? All right, the next meeting is July 12th at 2018. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. First by Gary, second by Michael. Thank you so much.
So.